Hi, I'm Pastor Timothy Thomas, and thank you so much for joining me for today's message. Today, we're going to be talking about generational curses and the impact it has on your life. Actually, there is such a thing as a generational curse, and actually says it in Exodus 34, verse 6. And we're talking about the Lord here, and he's saying, and he passed in front of Moses, talking about the Lord, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And here's verse 7, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Listen to this. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And he punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And so what happens is, even though Jesus came and grace came as well with Jesus, there is the law of the Old Testament that is still part of our lives. Part of this law is what's happening here in Exodus, that Jesus, the Lord, he, even though our God, he is so loving and caring, and he's there for us, but we forget that he's also a judge. And it's appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. And so there's judgment that happens with us in life. This judgment has been passed down from father to father to father, all the way down to where we are today. If we stop and think about it just for a moment, just how bad it really was back when in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve. And of course, there's you know, perfect there, you know, in the Garden of Eden. Everything was just lined up just right. But what happened was, is there was deception and the fall of man through Adam and Eve. And through this fall of man, all of a sudden, all these other things start happening. They have children. Deception happens again. The enemy slips in a wedge and starts to talk to one of their boys. And next you know it, there's murder between Cain and Abel. And this continues on down the generational line all the way to where you are today. And between there, between Cain and Abel to where you are today, there's been sorcery. There's been idolatry. There has been murder. There has been homosexuality. There has been gluttony. And the list just goes on and on. Witchcraft, the occult, open doorways. Worshiping the devil, and the list just goes on and on and on. And the enemy, he's more patient than we are, so he'll tempt, you know, your great grandparents to open a doorway, and it could be for anything. It could be through alcoholism, opening the doorway to the occult. It could be, you know, through other sins, generational sins, and it just comes all the way down. And the enemy will try grandma and grandpa first, great grandma and grandpa, and sometimes he's successful, and sometimes he's not. He's more patient, so he tries then your grandparents, then he tries your mom and dad, then he tries you, and so maybe they were able to resist the enemy, a couple of them here and there, but then all of a sudden he comes to you. Maybe your son's gluttony, and you like to eat lots of food, and that's your comfort, and that's where the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not always about magic and, you know, and witchcraft and stuff like that. It's a mixture of different things for different people, because some people don't get affected by the occult the way that others do. Some people are drawn into it, and there's something about it that drives them to it. You know, they seek after it. Other people, you know, it's food. Other people, it's alcohol. Other people, it's homosexuality. You know, and the list just goes on and on and on over our lives. But once we open the doorway to one of these areas in our life, that the enemy gains legal access even more so to come in to torment you. A lot of times I'll get phone calls from people, and they will be telling me, I haven't done anything at all. I can't remember anything that I did. Why would these things happen to me? And some people, they're hearing voices, and a lot of times they're hearing demons talking to them, telling them how bad they are. Sometimes they actually see the demons. Sometimes the demons actually touch them, or they touch things around their house. And it may not just be that. It may be that it's not that you're seeing or hearing or feeling demons. Maybe that the enemy has now come in and depression has come over you. Instead of, it might be depression, it might be anxiety, worry, stress, or any other emotion that doesn't lift up the Lord. The enemy will use these open doorways through generations to slip in a wedge to come and go as he wishes, to bring torment and aggravation to you, because he understands the legalities of what's going on inside of our lives. And these legalities are what gives him the right to do what he needs to do, because there are, just like a good lawyer, he knows the loopholes inside the system to be able to protect or to help out someone that is not doing so well. This good, well, I call him a sleazy lawyer. That's what I call the enemy. He's a good sleazy lawyer because he understands the law of God that he has set up for man. And through scripture, he's able to see where there's loopholes where he can stay. And he'll stay because of generational sin that hasn't been forgiven, that hasn't been broken off, that hasn't been healed in Jesus' name. And so, since he has this wedge and this doorway that's open, then he can come and go as he sees fit. And he'll keep coming and going to torment you the rest of your life until, well, you die. And his job ultimately is to kill you. But until then, he's going to steal your joy. He's going to steal whatever he can in your life, and to destroy you, relationships, destroy your family, destroy your relationships, destroy your marriage, destroy your work, destroy your finances, destroy everything that he could possibly get his hands upon, because he has legal access to do so, because we've given him that through generational stuff. And then sometimes we open up doorways. We always do. We're always opening up doorways, and we don't think that we do. Oh, what do we do to do this? Well, all it takes is for us to have a moment of lust and see someone walking by, and then all of a sudden idolatry and adultery, actually adultery, comes inside of our hearts just for a brief moment. And we think about, that person, and we think maybe some sexual thoughts about them for a brief second, and then the enemy gains legal access. But even though we didn't actually go physically have sex with somebody, he gains legal access to now come and torment you because you had thoughts about it. And those thoughts went in your heart, and you thought about it for a split second, for moments, for an hour. It doesn't matter. The enemy came in through that one particular doorway. As well is that if there's alcoholism inside your family bloodline, then the enemy will use that in his favor. And even though you're not a heavy drinker, all it takes is a time for you to drink a little bit too much, and then the enemy gains legal ground even further to come and to torment you, and then start tempting you to drink more continuously all the time. This is his job. The same thing with food. Maybe that you love to eat. And maybe you're skinny forever. I mean, I know that I was skinny forever. And then all of a sudden the 30s came, and I started gaining weight. Even though I was happy to gain some weight, at some point I reached a plateau, and all of a sudden I got a big old belly on me, and I was overweight, because I opened a doorway personally myself, through food, and I enjoyed it so much. And I never even thought about, how the enemy would use that in his favor to come and torment me. Also, to steal, kill, and destroy. Ultimately, he wants me to get so fat, all of us to get so fat that we'll die through some conditions, because it's unhealthy for us to be too overweight, and not to eat healthy. And so the enemy, he'll come in through whatever doorway he can. And we always just think, oh, it's just demonic. And what they see and what they feel and touch. But the enemy, he'll come in slowly. And he'll start opening doorways little by little to gain legal access over your life. And that's how he does it. He just continues to go little by little. And he doesn't rush in immediately and throw it right in front of your face, because if he did, you'd catch it right when he did it. And you'd go, I see what you're doing, enemy. You're not going to win today. But if he slowly brings it in, and he slowly starts bringing stuff up, and all of a sudden, you're in your 40s, and you're like, I just feel depressed. I don't know what's going on. The enemy's coming against me. And then you're thinking about your past, thinking about some of the things that went wrong. And then he comes and torments you because maybe there's alcoholism, maybe there's drugs, maybe there's same sex, opposite sex. It doesn't matter. The enemy will come in and he'll use, you know, sex as a tool. He'll use whatever he can to grasp to get you. And whatever doorways you've allowed to open, he will use that in his favor to come and torment you. And so these generational curses, they never go away. They never go away until they're broken off of you in Jesus' name. And it's scriptural for us to break these off and to be able to be strong and in the power of the Lord. And he also told us in the word as well that my people perish for their lack of knowledge. So we need to make sure that we have knowledge of the word of God so that we can be strong and overcome, and we can be victors in Christ because we understand the word of God. And so if you're interested in breaking off generational curses off your life, maybe it's curses of witchcraft, curses of the occult, destructive emotions, demonic behavior, mental and physical infirmities, then let us know. Give us a call. I'll be more than happy to pray with you to break off these generational curses in Jesus' name, and so that you can be set free from that forever in Jesus' name. Now, as part of breaking off the generational curses, we also do a prayer of forgiveness. And this prayer of forgiveness is so important. Now, the Lord may have had you go through a season of forgiveness. And if you haven't gotten there yet, he'll start working on your heart. But he's going to start doing something miraculous inside of you to forgive others for what they've done to you as well. Just not forgiveness, their debts. And a lot of times people, they don't want to forgive the debt that happened. And so they borrowed money from you, or they borrowed a physical thing and they never repaid you, and they kept promising you. And now you have, you're wounded by this. And so by forgiving their debts, the Lord opens up their hearts as well and letting them know that they're forgiven. Now, once you've done the process yourself and say, Lord, I forgive everyone of all of their debts. I forgive everybody of their debts in Jesus' name. And by doing this, this sets you free from the enemy's stronghold over your life. And just not that, then it also opens a doorway as well, because if you call your friends and the Lord puts on your heart to say, hey, I just want to let you know, whatever you borrowed from me, I just want to give it to you. Same with money. The money that you borrowed from me, it's just a gift. Don't worry about paying me back. And by doing this, all of a sudden, your friends and family members that no longer talk to you now will start talking to you now. Also, one last thing here as well is that we'll do a prayer to break off sexual sins and soul ties. Now, I don't know if you know this, but any time that you've ever been intimate with anybody, according to the Lord's eyes, we become one flesh, and there's a soul tie that's created. That soul tie is intended directly for marriage, so that you'll always be close to each other. Even when you're far apart, the Lord will always make you come back because you're one flesh. And so what happens is that we date somebody, and then after we're done dating with them, we break up with them, we've been intimate with them, the enemy gains a wedge to come inside there to torment you, to bring back remembrance, the good and the bad times, and loop it over and over again. And sometimes he'll even throw out there that you made mistakes, that you should still be with this person, and he'll torment you over that. And so by breaking these things off of you in Jesus' name, this sets you free, and you're able to then be, not have those sexual desires that you had for your exes. And now you'll be strong, and the Lord will be your strength over those areas, and you'll no longer have that tie, that soul tie with that person. And you'll cut off your flesh relationship with that person and that soul tie in Jesus' name and be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, if you're interested in getting some prayer over breaking off generational curses, as well as occultic activities, witchcraft, physical and mental infirmities, as well as demonic behavior and destructive emotions in Jesus' name, just let us know. Give us a call here or send us a message. We'll be more than happy to chat with you and set up a time to have a small session with you to do this in Jesus' name, an intimate one-on-one session with myself, Pastor Timothy. And it was great chatting with you today. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to give us leave a message below. Text us, send us a message through email. We'll be more than happy to chat with you. I hope you have a blessed day, and I hope that this message was encouraging to you and gave you just a bit of insight on how to be set free in Jesus' name.